there, and welcome to the Transparently Jordan podcast, where I'll be talking with a new guest each week, and we'll be covering topics in health, fitness, lifestyle, and so much more. So stick around, and let's get into today's episode.
Voices Media.
You're not really progressing to your full potential, so we should always be trying to embrace some form of failure, because with adversity and with failure comes growth and becomes character and becomes learnings. And
hey, you guys, Elite Supps Australia is your one-stop shop for all of your supplement needs. It has all of the major brands, ranging from EHP Labs to Optimum Nutrition to Body Science to Faction Labs. They have it all. Be sure to shop online at elitesupps.com.au and use code Jordan10 to save yourself a little money. That is code Jordan10, J-O-R-D-A-N, 10, to save yourself some money. Thanks, you guys. What is going on, everybody? And welcome to another episode. I am struggling right now. I swear to God. When you are lactose intolerant, you get a little too comfortable or a little too cocky. Literally, every now and then, I'm like, ah, what's the worst that can happen? I throw back a couple of lactate pills. And last night, went to the Fringe, and I swear to God, I ate all the cheese. Like, I ate all the fucking cheese in the entire Fringe. And I got maybe less than an hour of sleep last night. I got maybe an hour at like between four and five. I was just running to the toilet. It wasn't cool, guys. It was not cool. Oh, my stomach right now is just turning inside. So yeah, that was fun. What else is going on with me? Not a whole lot, to be honest. Not much has changed. I am still training away, still working away. Vacation starting Wednesday, so I am so excited for that. Long overdue. I am exhausted. Been just pushing through, but not anything fancy. I'm going back home to Canada. It's going to be freezing cold. It's going to be raining. You know, it's just going to be basically staying inside my parents' house all freaking day, which, whatever. I'll come back nice and relaxed, so that's all right. But I want to talk to you guys about the 5-minute journal. I mentioned this during the last episode, 5-minute journal. I swear to God, it is a life changer. It is so good. Just starting your day every morning, taking a more positive outlook on your life, you know, being someone who is negative Nelly like myself. This is honestly, like, the days that I forget to do the journal are the days that I'm like, oh, like something's just off. And, you know, it's because of the negative thought process that usually goes through my mind. So just kind of spending each morning going through this 5-minute journal, got it from Kmart. It literally has been a life changer. If you didn't listen to the last episode, definitely listen in, because I went through the 5-minute journal. But it's basically it takes you 5 minutes a day. You do half of it first thing in the morning and then half of it like before you go to bed. And easiest thing ever, I think, like in the morning, it tells you to write down 3 things that you're grateful for. It tells you like 1 positive affirmation to write down, and then like a goal for the day, basically. Super easy. It takes you like less than 2 minutes. And just starting your day in the morning, like I was saying, like I wake up right away, open this journal, unless I'm running late or unless my cat has, you know, done a poopies overnight and I need to run to the litter box. But anyways, getting sidetracked. I do this journal just like starting my day with three positive things, three things that I'm grateful for, has made such a difference, you guys. At nighttime, what it asks you to do, I think like three reflections from the day. And then I think like what made today great or something like that. It's funny, I've been doing this for like 2 months now and I can't exactly remember exactly what I did, what like a couple hours ago when I woke up. But yeah, no, this journal, life changer, run to Kmart. It's called the 5-Minute Journal. I think the official one on Amazon is like the 6-Minute Diary or something like that. But I mean, why pay $39.99 when you can pay like $9.99 at Kmart, y'all, if you're in Australia? Now, I just finished recording today's episode with Nathan Rouse. Nathan is the owner of Mufu Fitness in Unley. He has been on Ninja Warrior 3 times, maybe more than that, but he's a 3-time grand finalist. He is a personal trainer on Active Escapes, and just kind of an all-around good vibe, basically. So chatted with him quickly today, and tune in to, you know, the last half of today's episode to listen into that. We kind of talk about his journey with Ninja Warrior, his journey with personal training, and kind of like in general. So stay tuned for all of that. But I want to talk to you all about a topic that has been coming up so much for me lately. It is a topic that I've chatted about last episode as well with Cindy Liu. It kind of is about, I guess, time management and fitting things in during the day and, you know, not having enough time for things and yada, yada, yada. Again, I think I've talked about this, yeah, the last episode, maybe a few times during this entirety podcast, basically. But, you know, I get asked this question all of the time, even now. Back when I was a personal trainer, I got asked it more, you know, being a role model in that kind of regard. Now as a physio, still working with clients and patients, you know, chatting about my goals, chatting about like what I do outside of work. Like, I get asked this all the time. Oh, how do you fit in like, you know, your 10-hour day plus training plus this and that? And yeah, it's just such a common question, I think, myself and a lot of other people get asked is, you know, how do you fit in everything in the day? Or like, you know, what are you doing basically different? And it's just kind of a topic that is quite, I think, important to me because I've gone through, I guess, a lot of different goals in my past. You know, I have achieved a lot of things that I'm quite proud of. And now working into, I'm going to be getting into this a little bit later today, but you know, in July, I am basically running 7 marathons, from July 1st until July 7th. I am running 1 marathon every single day. And I'll chat about that in a little more detail, with you guys later. But you know, as a marathon runner, I already, and like so many other people already, spend a lot of my time, a lot of my personal time training, you know, both physically and mentally, basically, because, you know, running a marathon is a mental sport just as much as a physical one. So I get asked constantly, oh, how do you fit that in? How do you do this? How do you do that? My answer is always quite simple. It's making the time, basically, you know, like it's as simple as that. And, you know, I just wanted to delve into that a little bit deeper today because I don't want to sit here and talk about, oh, you know, you should make the time for this and everybody should. I totally get, you know, I'm a 29-year-old male. I'm living by myself. You know, I don't have a human child. If you know me, you know, my cat Harley is my child. So, but I totally get that it's a lot different than having a toddler. It's a lot different than having multiple kids. It's a lot different than being a single parent. It's a lot different than having different responsibilities. But, you know, like, I don't want to sit here and be like, oh, just make the time. Everybody has the same 24 hours. No, not everybody has the same 24 hours in the day. I totally understand that. I totally get if you are needing to do school drop-offs in the morning, if you're needing to take your kid to the doctor, if you're needing to take them to a childcare, you know, picking them up, just doing general kid things in the morning, after school, always being on, I totally get that. You know, it's, I'm in a place where I'm quite privileged. You know, I have all of this extra time, basically. But with that being said, I kind of don't have this extra time, if you know what I mean, right? So let's just kind of, I just kind of want to chat quickly about that, about what I do, because, you know, what I do is probably not something that everybody can do, but hopefully it just kind of opens somebody's eyes who's listening, or, you know, it just kind of hopefully inspires somebody, you know, that's kind of the goal of this podcast. But yeah, let's kind of get into it and just talk about kind of what I do and how I prioritize the things that I need to prioritize, basically. Now, before I chat in about all this stuff, sorry you guys for being all over the place, but I do think this is quite an important topic. I am running 7 marathons in July. It is for the charity Bravehearts. I just wanted to kind of delve into Bravehearts. Trigger warning, this does kind of go into child sexual abuse, so if you are sensitive or have history with this, you might want to skip, you know, 4 or 5 minutes ahead, because I'm just going to be chatting with Bravehearts, who is an organization, a charity organization, that helps to educate, empower, and protect against child sexual abuse. Now, Bravehearts is an organization. It is an Australian organization. Their mission is to provide a coordinated and holistic approach to the prevention and treatment of child sexual abuse. They have this amazing vision where a world of people, communities, and systems all work together to protect children from child sexual abuse. Now, what is child sexual abuse? It might not always be so clear. Child sexual abuse is a global problem that knows no physical, financial, socioeconomic, geographic, cultural, or gender boundaries. All forms of child sexual abuse are a profound violation of the human rights of a child and crime under the law, and the impacts of this crime are far-reaching for children, families, and the communities. Research defines child sexual abuse as any sexual act between an adult and a minor, or between two minors, which one exerts power over the other, forcing or coercing or persuading a child to engage in any types of child sexual act. It also excludes non-contact acts such as exhibitionism, exposure to pornography, voyeurism, and communication in sexual manner by phone or online. Sexual abuse can be physical, verbal, or emotional in nature. It can exclude non-contact and contact activities and can involve a range of behaviors, including but not limited to forced or unwanted sex, forcing a child to strip or masturbate, inappropriate touching of a child, engaging in any kind of sexual activity in front of a child, taking, downloading, or viewing or distributing child sexual images, possessing images of child sexual abuse, and encouraging a child to perform sexual acts in front of webcams or any recording devices, or grooming a child. I know this is kind of a hard topic, you guys, but the reason why I bring it up is because Bravehearts is such an amazing organization who has done such amazing work to prevent, to treat, to educate people on these topics. I am in July running 7 back-to-back marathons for this organization. I am running 42.25 kilometers every single day. I think that's a full marathon. I've run so many marathons, I should know that. But yeah, so I am running 1 marathon every single day across Australia. I'm starting in Perth and ending in the Gold Coast. I've been asked to join the National Australian Running Team this year, and me and about, I believe, 30 to 35 other national runners will be running 1 marathon every single day across Australia starting July 1st. You can sign up if you want for each state's event. We start in Perth, the second day is Adelaide, and then I believe it's Canberra, and then Tasmania, and then Melbourne, Sydney, and we end in the Gold Coast. You can go onto Braveheart 777 website, and again, if you wanted to, you know, come to the Adelaide day, the run is in Glenelg, all your registration proceeds will go to Bravehearts and will go to this event. I am also fundraising and raising money for this event, you know, raising money for Bravehearts. So if you head to the show notes of this podcast episode, as well as all of my other podcast episodes, I have included the link of where you can head to and donate. Any amount, you know, means so much to Bravehearts. It means so much to me. I am not running these marathons just for nothing. You know, it is for a good cause. So yeah, I just kind of wanted to spend some time talking about that because it is such an amazing charity. And yeah, definitely head to the show notes, please. Spend some time and, you know, make your donation, and it goes a long way. Now, how do I fit everything in the day? So I, once again, my work days are about 10 hours every day, approximately. I train about anywhere from 2 to 4 hours on top of that. And then, you know, it's fitting in eating, recovery, just kind of all of your life admin stuff on top of it. And I basically get it all done. You know, I do it every single day. Some days I might train less. Some days, again, I train up to 4 hours. It just depends on, you know, the distance that I'm running, my gym plan, all of that type of stuff, and I get it done. Now, I want to preface, though, before anything, I am not going to sit here, act all ignorant, and, you know, not recognize that not everybody has the same 24 hours in the day. I totally get that. Just like I was saying earlier, I get if you have 3 kids or even 1 kid, you know, there's a lot that you have to do there. And that will take up half of your day, basically. Driving to activities, school drop-offs, school pickups. I understand I don't have to do any of that. So I don't have the same 24 hours in my day as you do. Now, also, I think my goals are probably different than your goals, but a lot of the times I get asked, oh, how do you just fit in the gym? You know, like, I think it's important to realize, first of all, we all think that the more gym that we do, the better our outcomes are going to be. That's not necessarily correct. You know, I think if you are somebody who is looking to get into the gym, start with 1, 2, 3 days a week and go from there, basically. When you're in the gym, if you strategically and properly do your training, you don't need to be in the gym for hours. I'm in the gym for hours because I need to be, because that's my goal, really. I'm an endurance kind of athlete. That's the activity that I do. Marathon running requires a lot of training and a lot of distance, basically. But if you're just looking to be a little bit more active, if you're just looking to, I guess, go to the gym a little bit more, spending 30, 45 minutes is plenty. You know, start on the bike or do a warm up, you know, 10 minute treadmill walk, whatever you want to do, hit the weight section, do some weights. And then if you want to do cardio after that, you can, or, you know, do whatever you want to. But I think it's realizing, first of all, you don't need to spend 5 days a week in the gym, especially if you are newer and you've never, you know, consistently been to the gym. I think that just sets you up for failure. Asking for help, I think, is another very, very big, I guess, help, I guess. These days, there is so many ways that you can get help, right? You can see actual personal trainer face to face, you know, 2 times a week, and that's your training. They have everything planned. You just go to the gym and you do it, basically. Also, I think that helps keep you accountable. So that's definitely an option. These days too, online training is super, super big. You know, if you want to find an online trainer, sometimes that's also more cost effective for people. But if you want to find an online trainer, they provide you with the plan. They provide you with what you need to do. And all you need to do is go to the gym or purchase some equipment, do the 30 minutes at home. That's all you need to do, right? It's prioritizing your goal and realizing that, you know, you don't need to train for hours a day. So I think that's a very important kind of concept, because I think we can all find 30 minutes out of the day, regardless of how busy you are, to be active and do something, whether it even is just going for a 30-minute walk, you know, 15 minutes out of your house, 15 minutes back. Setting non-negotiables, I think, is super important as well. For me, my training is non-negotiable. I totally get, again, if you have other things that are just as, if not more important, like your children, I get like that is a non-negotiable for you probably, right? Totally understand that. And I don't think, you know, I'm in any position to tell you to change that negotiation. But I think creating another non-negotiable, that being just being more active, is probably a very important thing to do, really, you know, whether it be you taking your kids to their sports activities and going for a 30-minute walk around the oval, or I don't know, just kind of being smart about it and, you know, getting moving a little bit more in that regard. Because movement is movement, right? If you're just looking to get a little bit more active, then movement is movement. That's all you need to do. Again, I think we are all kind of in this headspace that you need to go to the gym to be moving. But for everyone, or I shouldn't say that isn't probably for everyone, because some people just can't fit it in, right? So being strategic and being a little bit creative in how you can move is quite important, whether it be spending 10 minutes, you know, in the morning before work, whether it be taking transit to work so that you're walking to the bus stop and then walking to and from your office. I don't know, like just kind of being strategic in that regard, right? But setting your fitness goals and setting your activity goals as a non-negotiable, I think, is super important, and you are not going to get anywhere until you do that. For me, I will not say yes to, you know, something with a friend, or I will not schedule something else in if I know that I cannot also get my activity done that day. Because it's a non-negotiable for me. That's not to say that I can't fit everything in. It's just then spending a little bit of time, maybe the day before, maybe the week before, to plan out your day basically and be like, okay, when can I fit this in? It's kind of like, you know, a puzzle basically. You just kind of have to look at your time, figure out when you can plan things in, you know, whether it be spending 30 minutes at your hour lunch break, going for a walk, or going to the gym quickly. Offices these days sometimes have gyms in there, which is great. Or, you know, look up your local kind of community and see if there's a gym close to your office that you can go to. For me, it is waking up in the morning. I do all of my training before work because I know after work, that's kind of when, if I create plans, that's when I want to do those. That's when I want to be social, or I'm just exhausted and I want to be at home and just rest, really. So my non-negotiable is I wake up every morning, I do all of my training, and even on the weekends, you know, I might not wake up as early, but I will say no to a breakfast plan or to a brunch plan or whatever if it kind of interferes with my training. Sundays for me are my long runs. You know, I can run anywhere from 20 to 30 plus kilometers, and that takes a couple hours, you know. I sometimes will go to the gym on top of that, but most of the time I will just kind of do that run. When I'm running for 2 to 3 hours in the morning, you know, That's basically taking most of my morning because I won't really leave my house until 7, 8 o'clock. 11, 12 is probably when I will be at home, basically. So I won't make any plans for that morning. I will make plans and let people know, you know, I'm free from 12 onwards or I'm free from this onwards because, you know, I still have life admin stuff to do. But for me, it is a non-negotiable. But yeah, I just kind of wanted to spend some time talking about that topic because, again, it comes up so much for me and it is just something that, yeah, I wanted to kind of get off my chest. But let's get into today's guest. Today we have Nathan Rouse. He is going to introduce himself during the beginning of this kind of podcast. So tune on in and let's get started. Yeah. Awesome. Well, welcome, Nathan, to the podcast again. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
No worries. Now, Nathan, do you mind? I like people to kind of introduce themselves during this podcast. So do you mind just kind of giving us a rundown of who you are yourself and kind of, you know, what do you do and all of that?
My name is Nathan Riles. Currently, I am the owner of Mufu Fitness, a place that I'm currently at the moment. So we're a functional fitness gym and just been open for over a year. Previously, was doing Ninja Warrior. So I've been a five-time Australian Ninja Warrior athlete. And then sort of during that was a one-on-one PT. So I guess that's been my resume for the last 10 years.
Cool. Awesome. Now, I know just kind of what you mentioned and you've had probably a long journey over those 10 years. So how did you kind of first get into kind of this industry? What kind of brought you into the industry and how did it all start for you?
Yeah. So I guess the fitness industry, like I started when I was quite young, training just because I wanted, like originally just wanted a better physique as a young skinny kid and just wanted to like fill out a little bit. You know, I was always embarrassed to take off my t-shirt and I was always very competitive playing competitive sports but was never like built or was never strong. So I guess that's what originally started it for me. And then it sort of amplified even more when I was diagnosed with cancer and had my chemo, and then I used fitness as sort of a different tool. I sort of used fitness as like a mental health thing, and then again to build my strength back up. And then for me, it's just continued on. It's been this like massive passion of mine because now not only do I use it for physical benefits, which I'm very grateful that it does give me that, but for me it's more so like for my mental health and for longevity and life and for having like greater quality of life for a longer time. So yeah, that's sort of where I am with fitness at the moment and why I really enjoy it.
Awesome. Yeah. And kind of, did you always know that you wanted to? I know, you know, it sounds like it kind of was naturally just kind of a progress basically over the years, but did you always know that you wanted to get into kind of like a leadership role of, you know, where you are now in the fitness industry?
I've always had big plans for, I guess, my future. I sort of knew, I knew the direction that I wanted to go in. And I knew that I needed to do certain things to put those in place. What's unfolded at the moment, I'd love to say it was planned, but it's just, I guess, a series of events where I've always done the things that I knew would benefit me. So like when I started personal training, when I started working out, I knew that working out every day was better than not working out every day. So I was like, well, I'm just going to do the thing that I know is going to benefit me more. And then eventually it led into like a career for me. And then with my career, the more that I would promote it, I knew that it was better than not promoting it. So it was like, I'm just going to do all these things to try and get my name out there, you know, same as, I guess, doing Ninja. Like, I knew that being a part of Ninja Warrior was better for my career than not being a part of Ninja. So I would just do all these things. And I think for that, then I get all these opportunities that then unfold from that. So, look, I'd love to say that it was always a passion of mine to open a gym. And I guess it was, it was in the back of my mind, but yeah, it sort of just unfolded this way, and super grateful that it has.
Awesome. Yeah, I think that's quite interesting how it just kind of unfolds, you know, sometimes. It's probably, it sounds like you've of course put yourself in the positions where, you know, you can essentially, like, you know, opportunity comes about and whatnot. Was it stressful putting you, like, yourself in these positions? Were you always the type of person, have you always been, I guess, the type of person that, you know, puts yourself out there and whatnot? Because it sounds to me that you are, you know, you kind of have to put yourself out there to just let things unfold, in a sense. Has that always been your nature, or how did that kind of develop?
Yeah, for sure. I wouldn't say it was stressful. I would say I've always been, like, pretty confident guy with what I do, and I try and take that confidence into everything that I do. And I sort of embrace failure, and I embrace these things that, like, I guess most people would be stressed about. So for me, if I fail at something, I get quite excited, because I mean that, like, I must be learning something, or there's ways that I could do it differently. So I wouldn't necessarily say I was ever stressed about the things, just more excited. And I've always, like, yeah, I just want things to sort of, like, happen for me straight away. So sometimes you have to play that, like, long-term game, which would be like, oh, I just want this to happen now.
Yeah, no, for sure. And what kind of things do you, I guess, like to do? You know, you're saying that you like to embrace failure and whatnot. So, you know, are there certain, I guess, certain tips that you have for people? Are there certain things that you utilize in your daily life? Because I think failure can be quite disappointing for some people, and it can be quite struggling. We actually brushed on failure in a previous episode. So how do you deal with failure, I guess?
Well, I actually like to see failure in a positive way. Like, failure should never be looked at as a negative thing. Actually, like, something that I say quite regularly in the gym is, if you're not failing in the gym, then you're failing in the gym. You know what I mean? Because, like, if you're not going to failure in the gym, then, like, you're not really progressing to your full potential. So we should always be trying to embrace some form of failure, because with adversity and with failure comes growth and becomes character and becomes learnings. And it would be silly not to embrace it.
Yeah, no, for sure. I like that answer. Thanks for that. Now, what was your journey like getting into Ninja Warrior? How did that kind of first come on? And, you know, what was, I guess, the training process for that? And kind of how did that all get started for yourself?
Yeah, so originally I started Ninja. I just got told by someone that I should go on this TV show. I actually had no idea what it was. Like, I'd never watched Ninja Warrior before. I touched on earlier, like, I was a bit of a competitive sports person. So I played, like, lots of footy, and that was always my interest. And then someone just messaged me saying that I should apply for this show. I think I got halfway through my application and then just stopped, because I was, like, busy and I had clients the next day. And anyway, so then I went and was doing my clients the next day, and I got a call saying, like, we really want you to finish your application, and then we want to see you at these live tryouts for Ninja. And so that's sort of how that happened. And then with that first season of Ninja, I think just because I got so far, so I ended up getting to the grand final stage two. That's when you get asked to come back again. And that's sort of just then how it happened. And then I sort of become sort of, whatever I do, I always try and get, like, fully obsessed with it. It's probably something to do with my ADHD and my OCD, but I just become so obsessed within that. So then I just, like, fully committed to, like, my training being Ninja training. So whilst I was training for Ninja, I'd be Ninja training. And then when Ninja was finished, I'd go back into playing footy and I'd go back into footy training and I would just mix between the two and did that for 5 years. So two totally different ways of training very intense training.
Yeah. And at that time, in that period, how did you fit it all in? You know, it's when you're training for multiple things, when you are, you know, quite active and whatnot, I think that's, and working on top of it, I assume, you know, I think a very common thing that I hear myself is, you know, how do you fit it all in into your day? So how did that kind of, how did you, I guess, manage your time quite well with that?
Yeah, you just got to make those things a priority. Like I would make training a priority. I would make work a priority. I would make eating a priority. And they're the three things that I'm focusing on the most. I think like I look back now because I've now got a little one and I can't believe how much free time I had before the little one. So I think when you don't have kids, you've got all the time in the world. If people tell me they don't have time, I know they're lying because I was doing 12-hour, 13-hour, 14-hour days and still training and still fitting all that in and feel like I have all the free time in the world. It was just, I guess the training side of things was just different because Ninja is very specific with what you need to do and it's very specific movements and was totally different to anything that I had ever done before. And then footy training is a complete opposite. So footy training, we're trying to lift weights and we're trying to get big and we're trying to be like running fit. So that was probably the hardest thing between those two is always switching back and forth between both trainings.
Right. Okay. All right. And what do you like to do now, essentially? Like, are you still with the Ninja world? Do you still, like, what's your, I guess, regime like currently?
Yeah. So like Ninja was very, I loved training and I loved doing that. But for me, it was just sort of that phase. Like I was just doing that and I was just fully committed to that for that show. Now the show's over. Like I'm loving, it's probably the fittest and strongest that I've been since training in this gym. So we're very class-based, would be the most like cardio fit that I've ever been, but it's also probably the strongest that I've ever been. And I'm really enjoying that like hybrid sort of training and like being strong, but also being quite fit and being able to run and not being injured all the time because I'm not playing footy anymore. So I guess that's what I'm really enjoying at the moment. And it's probably the most I've ever enjoyed my training for a very long time, if ever.
Awesome. And how did your business come to be? So, you know, your gym that you've opened and whatnot, when did that all kind of start? And how did that process kind of, I guess, come into development?
Yeah, so I originally was going to start something just before COVID hit. And we were just going to franchise. And I said to the bloke that I was going to franchise with, like, for me, because I was traveling so much with Ninja, I was like, I just need to get through this season of Ninja. When I get through this season of Ninja, I'll come back and we can open the gym that we're going to open. We had a spot, we had everything set up, we had a plan, we knew what we were doing. Went to film Ninja, and while I was away filming Ninja, that's when COVID hit. Thankfully we didn't start it because our business would have just been smashed by COVID. But then I was like, well, I can't do that anymore. Like gyms weren't even open. I'm just going to commit to doing a few more years of Ninja. I ended up building this like Ninja gym at my house at that time as well. So we were in lockdown and I built this like massive Ninja gym because I'm a carpenter by trade as well. Then during that time, I was just like being able to train at home and I was training clients at home and all of that. So that sort of stopped that gym from happening, allowed me to do Ninja for a few more years. And then, now fast forward to where we're at, I then knew that that's the direction that I wanted to head in because that's where I was going previously. But I thought for me, like I really wanted to start something of my own. Like I wanted to have the ability to change all of the workouts and train people how I wanted to and have a beautiful space, like a very aesthetic looking space that is welcoming and I can control everything. Thankfully one of my clients, saw the potential in that and we've gone in now together and good friends and, we've been able to do very well in the space that we're in.
Awesome. That's really good to hear. And, you know, it's probably was a challenging thing. Of course, you know, being through COVID and all of that and Gus, you know, it just kind of falling into place really. What does it, I guess, feel like now, having the gym open? What are you guys kind of working on currently and where is the gym going to go into the future?
Oh, I mean, the sky is the limit really with our future. We've currently been open for a year or just over a year, and we're sort of sitting around 150 members for us as a class gym, which is like, it's crazy to think that, we've got that many people that are on board with us so early. For us, realistically, we could probably only get like another 50 members in here and then we'll probably cap. And then once we've capped our memberships, there's bigger and better opportunities that we could then open more. But yeah, not going to go into that in great detail because we want to make sure that we focus on this one. Like this is our main priority at the moment. This is as best as we possibly can give our members as much value as they can out of their memberships. For example, we do free ice baths, we do free run clubs, we do free Pilates in here. We've got Normatec that they can use at any stage. We give out bags, towels. Like we're always trying to add value to our members, and that's what this gym was about. Is once you've got your membership, it's just all this added value that just keeps on coming and coming, and you didn't even know that this was expected. But yeah, we just all about our community and we're very blessed with the community that we've got.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I'm sure the community appreciates that as well. Yeah. Now, Nathan, where can people find you? Where can people, I guess, come to you for help if they need, you know, do you mind dropping your socials or dropping anything that you want really?
So our gym is Mufu Fitness, MUFU Fitness. You can find us online, mufufit.com. Me personally, you could reach out on socials. So like Nathan_Riles on Instagram. Or you could look at me getting absolutely harassed on TikTok by my fiance. And that would just be Nathan Riles. So a few different options.
Awesome. Thanks, Nathan, for coming on and chatting. Hope you enjoy the rest of your day. And again, I thank you so much for this.
Thanks, bro. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right, you guys. Thank you all so much for listening. Once again, if you have any time or any funds that you want to donate or that you'd be willing to donate, head to the show notes and you can donate to my Bravehearts page. Again, I am raising money for Bravehearts. I am running 7 back-to-back marathons. So definitely do so if you can. Thank you all for listening, and I will see you and talk to you in the next episode.